You're listening to Trailblazers.fm, an interview-styled podcast that delves deep into bold conversations with successful Black entrepreneurs and leaders. Join us weekly to learn actionable strategies, viable tactics, and innovative tools that you can put to use immediately on your journey to blazing your trail. And now, here's your host, my husband, Stephen A. Hart.
Blazer Nation, good morning. I am feeling just blessed and energized this morning to talk with you. If this is your first time joining one of our live broadcasts, my name is Stephen A. Hart. I'm the host of Trailblazers.fm, a platform that began as just a podcast back in February of 2016 and has grown up over the past almost 6 years. We talk with amazing Black entrepreneurs and leaders and creatives all around the world in hopes to impart some motivational mission fuel, give you that inspiration, give you the knowledge, the resources and tools you need in order to blaze your own trail. And on Wednesday mornings, I have brainwashed my dear brother from another, Mr. Sean Dove, who I'm going to bring up right now to join me and hopefully pour out some mission fuel for you. Good morning, Sean. How are you doing, man?
Good morning, my brother Steven. I just want folks to know that this is not only a live stream, but it is also a love stream. And thank you for sharing your platform with me, for tricking me to do this. our morning collaborations, Millionaire Wednesdays, have become the highlight of my week. And so I'm like so excited for today's guest. And I just want to say this. I don't know how much Blazer Nation is getting out of these Wednesday morning, Millionaire Wednesday mornings.
I'm getting
right. So I'm being selfish. So I don't know if it's just me, you, and the guests, and that's it. I am hoping that we are providing mission for someone. Never know who needs to hear something, who woke up this morning and is feeling a little discouraged and don't want to finish their race. And so today we are going to be, I'm going to be talking to just an amazing brother. But before that, I want to bring in the champ, Muhammad Ali, into the room. This is Millionaire Wednesday, and you've heard me say that everybody can't be a billionaire, right? But everybody can be a millionaire, right? Everybody can have the will to make things change, the will to, like, when someone says no, finding a new opportunity. Millionaires say, where there's a will, there are several ways. Yes. And what Muhammad, champions are made from something they have deep inside them, a desire, a dream, a vision. They have to have the skill and the will, but the will must be stronger than the skill. And so we're going to introduce Stephen Powell, but with this whole notion of time, I wanted to also, we brought in Muhammad Ali, the spirit of Muhammad Ali, and I want to bring in the spirit of Mamie Till Mobley, the mother of Emmett Till, who had the courage and conviction to declare that her son, Emmett, who was murdered in 1954, that we were going to have an open casket and show the world what hate and racism has done to my son. And this is what Mamie Till Mobley said. We are only given a certain amount of time to do what we were sent here to do. You don't have to be around a long time to share the wisdom of a lifetime. You just have to use your time wisely, efficiently. There is no time to waste. So let's waste no more time and bring on our good brother, Stephen Powell. Welcome to Blazer Nation, Stephen. Welcome to Millionaire Wednesday. Welcome to our Mission Fuel Wednesday. We're still working with the branding, but just thrilled to have you here. We don't usually get into the long bios and we let folks just like tell their story, but I just wanted just to briefly let Blazer Nation know that Stephen Powell is the Chief Programs and Partnerships Officer of the National Cares Mentoring Movement, founded by Essence Magazine's editor-in-chief emeritus, Susan L. Taylor. He leads and oversees the organization's affiliate network program expansion, partnership development, training, and technical assistance efforts. The most important line of his bio is the bottom line, right? Yeah. And he was raised in East Orange, New Jersey, and currently resides in Montclair with his wife, Marlena, and two daughters, Sinclair Adina and Simone Alexandra. Stephen, welcome to Millionaire Wednesday. What's your mission for you for the day?
You already said it, brother. It's a love stream. So thank you both so much for inviting me on. And Sean, you definitely emphasize what's most important. That's my family, God and my family. So I call my girls my Powellettes. So I'm hoping that they have a beautiful day. And brother Stephen, so for the sake of this conversation, I'm going to be Stephen the sequel. That's Stephen the original.
I met you through our mutual mentor, Reverend Alfonso White, right? And I remember vividly the day he connected us. You were leading mentoring USA, and I was running the mentoring partnership of New York, right? And you have always, you're one of the brothers in my network that I have never seen you angry. I'm not saying you don't get angry, but your sense of centeredness, your sense of a purpose and pouring into others and the light that you just like, when you come into a room, it gets brighter, right? And you also told me a number of years back, I couldn't hang with you if I didn't learn how to wear a pocket square. You are the one that was responsible for me starting to, you know, mess with a pocket squares. But share with us. And the theme is for today, run your race and finish 2021 strong. And you are a track star in high school and in college. And so when you hear that theme, what comes to mind and what can you offer our listening audience about running your race and finishing 2021 strong?
You know what, Sean, first of all, I have to say it was brilliant that you all chose that title. And I can't tell you how much I love you for who you are as a servant leader and the trust and commitment that you poured into communities all around the country. But since you brought up Reverend Dr. Alfonso White, let's bring that into the title. And Stephen, I can't tell you how much I adore you, my Yardie brother, man. I mean, again, Sean has been an amazing convener of such beautiful brothers and sisters to help advance this work. So here's what's interesting, Sean. When I was the executive director at Mentoring USA, I had applied for a grant to a foundation that Reverend White happened to be on the board of, and we were declined. Right. So I was like, this is a pretty good grant. And essentially the grant was to help the organization, help our organization at the time, identify mentors from the faith community to adopt local schools. And about a week later, Reverend White called me into his office and said, "Hey, I just want you to know that we didn't decline you for lack of the proposal not being good. It's just not the time considering where we are." And then he said, "I think you should connect with Sean Dove." And I had heard your name. Sean is legendary in the mentoring and youth development space, and he's an entrepreneur at heart. And I said, "I would love to meet that brother." And Sean, here's what's interesting. So when we talk about running a race, like, you can run a race, but everybody doesn't always finish strong, right? And I think that that's an important key to note. And the question is, are you running your race? So what Reverend Wyatt did, connecting me to you, and then the investment you poured into Mentoring USA to align, to support the what I call my personal ministry, engaging the faith community, preparing them to adopt schools around the country. You took it, I'm not even going to name the amount, but it was four times the amount that we had applied from the other foundation. And today, that is still a model that we are engaging. As a matter of fact, this weekend coming up, I'll be down in Durham, North Carolina, to launch our Durham Cares affiliate. And it is anchored by St. Joseph's AME in Durham. So the faith community has a tremendous role among many organizations in mentoring, but it was the ability to align me. This is called Reverend White, another coach,
yes,
to help me finish that race and finish strong. And we're still running that race now. When I think back to my track and field days, and I have to shout out my track and field coach, Richard Curtin, call him Papa, and all of my athletes from Clipper J. Scott and East Orange, and all athletes around the country who understand this metaphor. I remember a time when I was running an 800, which is two laps around the track. And I was running against a guy who was a pretty standout runner, but the way that he ran the race was called negative splitting, meaning that he ran his second lap faster than the first. That wasn't my style of running. My style of running was blazing that first 400, really up to 600, and I'm taking it home or whatever I have with 200 meters. So I decided this at this meet, I'm going to try to run this other guy's way. I'm just going to ride on his shoulder and see if I can kick into another gear. And when I tell you he left me, I had no other gear, nothing left, because I thought I could run his race. And the first thing my coach said to me was, did you run your race? I didn't run my own race. And in order to run your own race, you have to prepare during the week. And then when you get to the meet, you have to trust in the preparation. So what I had prepared for all week was not what was supposed to be executed on that Saturday. And I deviated from the plan and didn't win because of the other part that I loved about this title, Sean and Steven, is finishing the race strong. Another thing you will hear a lot of track and field coaches say, run through the line. A lot of times people might slow up getting to that finish line when in all actuality, you have to envision another line beyond the finish line. And you may not qualify or move on to the semifinals or finals if you slow down and then somebody else decides to finish stronger. So I think there's a lot of metaphors that we bring into now the work that we're doing in community. The National Cares Mentoring Movement is the nation's recognized leader in the recruitment, training, and engagement of African-American mentors, and the only national organization that's providing culturally anchored, healing-centered, holistic group mentoring protocols for children and the parents and mentors that support them. So for us, it's about building community. It's about focus. When I hear running your own race and finishing strong, and Sean, you mentioned something else about me not being angry and always trying to be illuminating. It's not an easy job, but I realize that if this is what my gift is, if this is what my assignment is, I have to pour into that. And when I sit down and talk to my daughters, I came up with an acronym called TITO, T-I-T-O, tune in, tune out. So what's that list? What are you tuning into? And what are you tuning out of? So if I'm tuning and I'm tuning into prayer, I'm in the morning, I'm making time for myself, which is self-care. I'm praying for my enemies, which is the strongest prayer that you can do. I'm taking care of my finances. I'm looking at the mission, which I was charged to execute. I'm tuning into family. I'm tuning into love. I'm tuning into compassion and tuning out all the noise, right? It's a lot of noise in the world right now, and it's not hard to get distracted. Even when we think about social media is one of those things where you have to toe the line. Some days you tune in, some days you tune out. And here's why that's important. What we're finding coming out of, let's say we're still in the mix of COVID. I think it's a conversation Stephen and I had earlier this morning. We're still in the middle of trying to deal with COVID. But what we also have to recognize is that we're still grieving. We're grieving the loss of life. In essence, I'm the type of person I am, but I'm also grieving the loss of compassion and empathy in the world. And we have to take a pause and say, am I able to pour out today if I haven't poured into myself? So like they say, you can't pour from an empty cup. So there's got to be moments where you power down, you step back, you disconnect, you recharge, and then you reengage. Because we're not going to be good to anybody if we're pouring from an empty cup or we're just not able.
Yeah.
Wow.
Listen,
go ahead.
Sean, real quick, as we're talking through this track analogy and we're talking about finishing strong, couldn't help but think of Derek Redmond back in the Olympics, had an injury mid-race. I think it was like a 400-meter race, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And pulled up. And my man got up and said, I'm going to finish this race. And I don't know if you've seen this. I know you can probably look this up on YouTube, but his dad comes on the track. Dad comes on the track and brushes off the sideline folk and helps his son cross that finish line. And we're thinking of finishing the race. And sometimes, Sean, you love to say, sometimes we can't push out. We need somebody to help us pull out what we can't push out on our own. And while you are pushing to finish, you might need to enlist some other folk around you, your community around you. Don't try and go this alone. And enlist the support where you need to finish strong.
Yeah, and that requires some vulnerability, right? The ability to ask for help. And Stephen A., you alluded to a story that I often tell about the delivery of my children. And my last born, Caleb, was breech. And no matter how hard Desiree pushed, she'd already pushed out three babies in her lifetime. Caleb wasn't coming out because he was breached. And the doctor said, I have to go in and pull him out, right? And in that moment, this metaphor just got deep in my soul that we've all done some dope stuff, right? But the thing that God really wants us to deliver to this world, we have to get vulnerable, get into some spiritual, emotional stirrups. And when we say that to men and brothers, right, the whole image of brothers getting into stirrups and go to someone and say, I have something inside of me and I need your help to pull it out, right? And Brother Powell, what's in you, right, that you need help pulling out for you to go to the next level?
That's a great question, brother. I think it really just speaks to the need to always have an accountability partner. We talk about running. I am not my best when I'm running alone. And I got brothers in my circle like Janabu Williams, who was my high school track and field teammate. You got Omani, who always runs. So I think what is going to get me to the next level, because we have to talk about health. I mean, I had my own health scare last year with blood clots during COVID and had to make this commitment to really getting better and trying to lose some weight. And I love the sport, but it's when you have so many different things going on, you have to be committed to creating the space to be. Mm-hmm. We can't be an organization that promotes wellness and then not taking care of ourselves in the process. So I think what is required for me to get to the next level, because we want to see all of this work through, is accountability partners turning it up for me, right? Really making sure that, hey, are you doing what you said you were going to do? Are you completing that task? I'm definitely a self-starter, but accountability partners for me, it matters. It matters in all facets of our life. And we're talking about health and marriage. You need accountability partners for marriage. You need accountability partners for your spiritual growth, for parenting, trying to figure that piece out, right? So I think that the accountability piece is, Sean, what you brilliantly said is, got to be vulnerable, man. It's not always easy to do that. We're taught that vulnerability is weak, when it's actually one of the strongest traits we can have. I don't know if we were all to look at ourselves as high performance vehicles, I don't know what's going on until I open the hood, right? The car might look shiny, but until you decide to open up the hood and really allow someone to say, you know what, you need an oil change or you need this. Now we're talking about how you advance to work because you're willing to be open. And that's not an easy thing.
That's an inside job, because once upon a time in my youth, I thought that all I needed to do was get a car wash.
Right.
Make it look good, get the wheels shiny. And
pull the windows down and put the music up. I know how.
And there are a bunch of places I want to go with you here, Stephen. And I know we only have so much time. We brought in an amazing Black woman to start this session and show. We brought in Mamie Till Mobley and a quote from her. I want to bring in another amazing Black woman whom you work with, right? And side by side, and has been a mother and mentor and guiding light for so many, Susan L. Taylor. And I often remind her of a quote and something she said to me. It was a packed audience at 144th Street in Harlem in the County Cullen Community Center, but I thought that she was just talking to me. And she said, the essence of success is that you have to show up fit, focused, organized, disciplined, and with a plan, right? Mm. That has always resonated with me. I'm jealous you get to work with Susan so closely. But talk a little bit about your experience working with Susan, and what are you learning and being a significant executive leader with CARES National?
We definitely don't have enough time for that answer. But I'm going to try to be as brief as possible. I mean, let's just say what it is. Susan is an absolute earth angel. I was very blessed and fortunate to meet her my second month on the job as executive director at Mentoring USA, another organization, I saw Susan on Oprah. I saw what she was trying to do. I said, I have to connect with her to link arms and aims, which is her quote, linking arms and aims to advance the work. And our first meeting was 6 hours. There's two things that came about that I knew that meeting was going to be long within the first 30 minutes. She said, I'm apologizing for my generation not cleanly passing the baton to yours. Mm. Here we go. Another track metaphor. Right. And then I also found out that her father, both of our paternal sides are from this tiny island, St. Kitts and Nevis. So that's like seeing a unicorn. So I knew that she was divinely sent. So let me just check that box. What I've learned from her is what it means to be a cheerful giver. Susan opens her Rolodex for community. Mm-hmm. She opens her Rolodex to advance the mission. She has a mission to heal the world. We are very much the same when it comes to building partnerships and relationship building. We're certainly two of a kind, but I've just never seen someone, her ability to convene folks, but it's not just to convene them. She is the thermostat. She sets the temperature. She's not reacting. She's the one who's going to set the temperature and help everyone to see how we move forward. So I'm incredibly blessed to work with her. And another thing, just from a personal side, when my first daughter was born and she gave my wife and I the Essence 25th anniversary coffee book.
Yes.
And she did that. She was intentional about that because she wanted my daughter, as she was growing up, now I have two girls, to see the vast range of what Black beauty looks like in Black women. All different shapes, sizes, colors, right? Just that respect. So when I think about Susan and how I was drawn to her as a Black man, I'm like, why am I looking at In the Spirit, right? It's because she was following her mission. Her passing that information on to me, when I look at how courageous my girls are, and my wife is just dope and dynamite all the way live. So all she did was continue to pour in what people like Susan have helped to have us understand. The other thing that Susan did, and I have to name this because it's really important when we talk about the work that we're doing, is also to disrupt generational poverty, right? And understanding the root causes of systemic racism and how it impacts the world. CARES was birthed because of what she saw on the heels of the devastation around Hurricane Katrina. Susan got me to move away from renting to owning, right? Understanding the power of equity, understanding the power of pulling together our resources. And that understanding and consciousness shifting has now expanded into our work, where we also host community wellness and wealth building gatherings for those in the community who are really looking to, how do we change the community? How do we set aside egos? There's nothing wrong with having an ego. We just need to have them in check. And then the other piece, in order to do that, we have to, one, believe in cooperative economics, and two, believe in trusting one another. We can't move this work far without trusting one another. And the opportunities that I now have, and I told Susan when I first came on board, I said, we want to continue to build out partnerships. We have in our work is called Community Impact Partners, Black Legacy Organizations, organizations like the Association of Black Psychologists. Delta Sigma Theta just came on board. We're going to announce that tomorrow. Jack and Jill of America, The Lynx, a national coalition of Black women, the National Coalition of 100 Black Women, the National Black Child Development Institute, Phi Beta Sigma Fraternity, and that list continues to grow. And when we get all of these entities together, the sole focus is, what can we do together without duplicating the work to love our children? As you said earlier, Sean, this is a love vibe. This is a love stream. And that's what really has to anchor all of this work. Because if you're anchored in love, you had mentioned earlier about always having a positive disposition. If I make it my practice every day to forgive, that also helps me to release a lot of weight that a lot of people tend to carry on. They're carrying grudges and they're angry at folks. And I'm like, we always got to give ourselves, because if you can't forgive somebody else, how are you going to forgive yourself? And if we're believing in what the divine brings to us, I'm like, all of the mistakes I made, all of the thoughts that I have to correct, I'm glad that I serve a forgiving God, right?
Yes.
And now I have to bring that into the community and out into the world. And that's what our young people have to see as models. So if we talk about mentorship, and going into communities that are maybe wounded and broken and resolving conflict. If I'm going to resolve conflict, I have to be able to resolve conflict internally in order to model that for those young people we may want to put down the guns, put down the fists, link arms and aims, give a brother a pound, give a brother a hug. It's a beautiful thing. Susan and I were in Denver. Sean, you're going to appreciate this because when we talk about vulnerability, it's an interesting thing that we have to break through, particularly to our young Black men. There's a specific love and learning that we have to bring to our Black girls, but our boys, when we talk about code switching, Susan and I were in Denver at the launch of the Robert F. Smith STEAM Academy, and we brought this brilliant young brother next to us to take a photo, and we told him, we're not taking this photo until you crack that smile. But when he heard me say, brother, you have a beautiful smile. So to hear a Black man say to him, you have a beautiful smile. I understand why you're doing that. But do understand that that beautiful smile is going to allow doors to open for you. And then we began to have a deeper conversation. I just didn't become 6'1", dark skin overnight. Right. I understand that I fit the description of crime suspects around the country because of the narrative. So my love, my work, my mission also in mentorship is to be a love ambassador, right? To be a compassion ambassador and by any means necessary. I don't have to wait around and see if that shifts somebody else's consciousness. I just have to plant my seed and keep it moving and remain faithful and focused.
And so we're talking about run your race and finish 2021 strong. We only have 45 days left in the year. We've said and acknowledged that it's still not too late to make 2021 your make or break year, to make history, break records. You talked about generosity and what you have gathered and learned and watching Susan. That's one thing that we can do in a spirit to finish strong. Not thinking about what I can get, what can I get, what can I get, what can I give to finish strong. You talked about forgiveness, right? And the question is, who do I need to forgive to finish strong? And a lot of times it starts with first the self-compassion and forgiving ourselves. What else would you offer? There's somebody that's watching right now and it's saying, look, 2021 is a wash. I had some goals, some dreams that did not pan out or have not panned out, had some heartbreak. It's over. Let me just cruise into Thanksgiving and the holidays and wrap this up. What else, in addition to generosity and forgiveness, can you offer us that will allow us to still finish this year strong?
I'm going to have to go back to it's self-care, self-care, self-care. It's an acknowledgement that we are all carrying something from all of the trauma that we witnessed over the last 2 years. So self-care is critically important. And Sean and Stephen, I can, from the standpoint of a mentoring organization, I'm going to jump to another track analogy. Let's talk about the long jump. So if you ever see somebody on the path running the long jump, you see them focusing. If you're in a crowded stadium, sometimes the sound comes down, so there's a focus. But it is all dependent on your speed on that flight, on that runway, right? The speed is what's going to propel you in. So coming out of November, going into December, January being National Mentoring Month. So for us, it's what does the long jump look like for us? How do we spring into 2022 with a high level of momentum? Organizationally, we are continuing to carry our work, supporting and aligning with corporate partners who are interested in our group mentoring protocols. We have deepening our work with the national partnership, the Boys and Girls Clubs of America. Certainly want to shout them out. Shout out the Sephora's of the world who have invested. But beyond all of that, Sean, beyond that external piece, it's really the self-care. Like really being acknowledging the fact that we are carrying things, compassion, respect, safety, remaining safe. We're not through this all yet. I think that as people are during this time of year, when we're getting ready to dive into Thanksgiving and the December holidays, depending on your faith, and then New Year's gatherings, we want to continue to be safe. And remember that there are other people out here that we want to make sure that they're safe as well. So it's not just about me. The question is, what am I willing to do to ensure that I'm exuding compassion to the world and empathy and thinking about others as I'm in my daily routine?
I want to bring in another amazing Black woman to this conversation. And we were in the backstage before we came on, and you were beginning to tell us a story about Cicely Tyson. and tell us your Cicely Tyson story, and how does that relate to running your race and finishing 2021 strong?
Well, listen, we're just going to, if I had some more, I would pour out libations for that beautiful soul. Here's what's interesting, Sean, you know, and Stephen, I'm going to tie this also back to our curricula. It's called A New Way Forward, Healing with Turning Black America, mm-hmm. created by a 60-member brain trust, 10 pillars of focus. But the first focus pillar in that curricula is called heritage. So we go from heritage, spirituality, mm-hmm. to stress, to wellness. And this is a curricula that we bring to adults. It's also a 32 curricula that's brought into schools. Why is this all important when we talk about Cicely Tyson? So when I think about my own personal walk, my father passed away when I was 5. I was about 2 months shy of my 6th birthday. I do what I do in mentoring because of the adult mentors who stood in the gap for me. They didn't approach me from the lens of sympathy. They approached me from the lens of empathy. So they taught me how to work through challenging situations. And certainly, again, I'm lifting up my track and field coaches and peer mentors in track and field who helped to guide me. Why is this important? So in, I think it was 2018, Sean, you've come to our annual galas. This year, our CARES gala is going to be in February. It's going to be virtual. So we're at the gala and Cicely Tyson is sitting in the front row. We're doing our sound check. So I'm at the podium. And then as I'm going through my remarks, she leans into my team member, Cicely Gay, and says, "He's from St. Kitts. He's Kittitian." And Cicely told me that. Our Cicely told me that. I didn't have an opportunity to speak to Miss Tyson after that gala because we're running around and there's so many moving pieces. So the following year, we actually honored Cicely Tyson. And not only did we honor her, we had the beautiful young children from the Cicely Tyson School of Performing Arts in my hometown, East Orange, perform a beautiful piece for her. So you can see how things are coming full circle. Cicely Tyson has done a lot of investment in the city of East Orange. And so I said to Susan, I said, "Susan, you got to set up an opportunity for me to find out where she was going with this." And being the mentor and loving guy that she is, she said, "I'll do it. We're going to have a dinner." That dinner was about 3 hours. And my grown self, I literally should have been sitting there with my legs crossed like I'm listening to a grill, because she's "Look at your cheekbones." And then she's like, "Look at our cheekbones." And I'm like looking at Susan's cheekbones. And here's what's interesting. The Powells are from Nevis, which is where Cicely Tyson's family is from. Wow. So St. Kitts and Nevis is a twin island. And a few years ago, when we all were honored by Black Enterprise, I spoke a little bit about what it meant for me to go back to St. Kitts, because I've only been to St. Kitts twice. Mm-hmm. I was 15 months old, so my father was alive then. Mm-hmm. And then I went in 2001 by myself because I wanted to trace my roots. And when I went by myself, I said, "I'm going to give myself 2 weeks to just reconnect." My aunt was there from England.
Wow.
My father, the woman who brought my father in the ministry, she was 89. She was there. I met with her. She pulls me out to the front porch. We start walking down the street, and my cousins are walking up the street. I'm like literally in tears. The reason why this is so important is because in order to do the work that we are divinely blessed to do, we have to honor our ancestral roots and our heritage. And having an understanding of that, it's not about, "Oh, I'm from here, I'm better." No, we all have our own ancestral roots that we need to honor. And then we have to respect the lessons. And it's a beautiful thing, Sean and Stephen, when you can sit with people outside of our race and we talk about, "What are some of your family traditions?" And it's like, "Oh my God." So even though we look different and we come from different places, we all have a shared common theme in when it comes to the appreciation, what we learn from our own heritage. So what Susan did in that moment and that connection to Cicely, Miss Tyson really poured into me, and it allows me to recognize again that our steps are divinely ordered. Everything is going to happen when it's supposed to, not when you always want it to, but when it's supposed to. So that first year I was like, "Oh my God, I don't think I'm going to have the opportunity to connect with her again." And then we ended up honoring her, and it was no choice of mine, right? It was Susan's vision. But it goes back to the other thing. If you want something, you have to ask for it. I could have been shy about it and said, "Oh, no, I don't know." I was like, "Susan, can you set that up?" And she said, "Yes." Right. As busy as Susan is, as busy as Miss Tyson is, they made it happen. And I'm incredibly grateful and blessed to have had that experience. And then I got to ride in the car with her and we had a longer conversation. So it was much more deeper than just sitting down.
Yes.
It started a relationship. And so, again, we just lift up her name and we're grateful for all of the contributions that she left on this earth.
Sometimes you just have to ask.
That's it. All they can say is no.
Well, yeah.
But I've done my job, right?
Les Brown says, in order to GET, you have to ASK, right? You talked earlier about just preparation and training, right? And preparation. Ali talked about folks don't see the road work. Folks don't see the hours in the gym. They just see fight night and the lights, the resistance, and overcoming adversity. And we'd like for you just to talk a little bit about this overcoming life's inevitable resistance, adversity, because no race will ever be finished without some resistance and adversity.
Yeah, I always joke because scar tissue is important. Right. Mm-hmm. And I always say, like, I want to go into a battle with people who have scar tissue, people who've been battle tested. When I was teaching my daughter how to ride a bike, I pulled up my sleeve and I showed her a scar on my elbow. Y'all know how it was back in the day, right? You get your bike, you build a ramp. We got our little Huffies and BMXs. So my brother and I were racing with our neighbors and I overcommitted on my handlebar and I went flying over the handlebar, skidded, got a cut there. But I never did that again, right? That's the whole point, right? I'm grateful for that scar because it became a lesson for me for safety. And just think about it, y'all. We didn't even have helmets back in the day. I laugh at all of that stuff. We didn't even wear helmets. But so now when I'm teaching, when I taught my daughter, I'm saying, well, scar tissue is important. And so when it comes to the work, Sean and Steven, and we talk about adversity and challenges, we just have to admit when things don't go right because it's not always going to happen that way. When we're meeting with partners and we're building our work, and Susan always says we're making the road before us as we walk it, that's a true statement. Sometimes we implement programs that are not done the right way, mm-hmm. and it's not about. So when we talk about running a race, yeah, we started the race, but did we run it strong? So sometimes you got to take a step back, and you know what? We didn't implement that right. Let us fine tune this. And we have to get this right for the sake of our children and for the sake of the integrity of the work. So there's a lot of that, and it's okay because it's not about finger pointing. It's about holding up the mirror and saying, we made a mistake there. Let's change that. So a part of keeping the glow, Stephen and Sean and all of the listeners, it's always being committed to extended grace. I'm going to give you extended grace, and I'm just praying that you give me extended grace and that we're committed to getting this right together. It's not always going to be easy. If the work was easy, it wouldn't be worth it. So I'm okay with tripping. I'm okay with stumbling. I'm okay with losing a few races. But sometimes you got to lose a few races to get the ultimate championship, and that is completely fine with me. So, yeah, it's the extended grace, and it's the ability to say, you know what, I just didn't do that. And then that comes with practice. Sometimes I'll say things to my daughters, and I'm like, you know what, or my wife, I was wrong. I'm sorry. You know what, you were absolutely right. And when you see what that does to someone else, the ability to be like, my bad, like, you were right. It just confirms and it honors them, and it honors their existence, and it honors their brilliance and their contribution to whatever you all were working on or whatever that conversation was. So that extended grace, the ability to just course correct and say, we're going to get it right. It may take some time, but we're going to take a step back in order to take a step forward. That's just a part of the process. And I'm okay with that.
That's powerful because I've been doing a lot of work, particularly over the last couple of years, around what's the story I'm telling myself, right? And so my therapist reminds me every few sessions, welcome to the human race. You're not perfect. And it's not how far you fall, it's how high you bounce. That if we can reframe our failure story in our heads, we can reframe our future. And I think that goes back to the vulnerability aspect, and particularly in the field of mentoring, that our young people don't necessarily want to hear our success stories. They want to hear, where have you stumbled? Where have you fallen short, right? And we got to be conscious of being able to share our vulnerabilities and places and where we have fall, you know, where we fell, and we've had to get up, right? But one of the Genesis stories that Stephen Hart always talks about, and I love when, with him on the cruise with his wife, his new wife, Kristen, and his business falling, and he was like, man, overboard alert. And telling the story of that business failure, losing millions, but bouncing back and coming back, right? And that's an important story to tell, right, Stephen?
It is an important story to tell. And I've shared so many of talking about vulnerability, right? I've shared that story many times over on the podcast. And I've been very vulnerable and transparent in the season that we're in. Over the past almost 2 years now since my dad's stroke, one of the things I love that we've been vulnerable about talking about as Black men is the importance of our mental health and our mental strength. And I will never talk about this enough, but turning that switch, and thank God for good wives that we have. When I returned from Jamaica after my dad's first stroke, and my wife, Kristen, says, hey, listen, I got two appointments for you. You're going to go see your primary care physician and have an appointment later in the week for you to talk to someone. And I've had many conversations over the years about mental health. But yet I found myself in that moment saying, woman, I don't need to talk to somebody. Nothing's wrong with me. And she says, Stephen, it is absolutely covered by our insurance. Go see if this is something for you. And if it's not, then you don't need it. Fast forward to now, my therapist had her own personal episode some weeks ago and couldn't make an appointment. And I went a month without talking to her. Mentally was completely out of it, right? Having a therapist, being able to have someone to be able to talk to, we're talking about that support, to be able to organize thoughts, to be able to be vulnerable with and share everything with, has allowed me to run this race, has allowed me to get to this point in 2021 where I can look at the finish line and know I'm going to finish strong. Right. That's one of the things. And when, you know, I was able to talk to her, hey, all the tools she's equipped me with, right, over the past year, I had to pull out the toolkit, right, and work through. And many Wednesdays, right, today I feel amazing, but there are many, many Wednesdays in the past 6 weeks where I've been vulnerable. We both have. Sean and I have shown up here and said, I don't know if we want to do this today. Right? I don't know if I have it in me. I don't even know if I have it in me to roll off the bed. But I'm always open to saying, let's see what happens. And something I was sharing with our mutual sister, Sean, Minda Hartz, and I were talking this week. And we were talking about what we can control. Right. We often want to hit when we set goals. We set some goals that are kind of out there. And you just authored a book, right? Co-authored a book with Nick. And there's a part of you that's naturally going to want to see yourself on a best-selling list. But you can't control the best-selling list. What you can control is impact. Right, you are a connector. So you can work with, you can set goals to say, you know what? I want to get this book in front of and impact 100,000 Black men and boys. And you can reverse engineer the process to make that happen, but you can't control the bestseller list. And the wisdom in that this morning is, hey, run your race, control what we can control, right? And finish that race. Finish 2021 strong. Figure out one thing is that you want to get done. Figure out what tasks need to happen over the next 45 days that can get you there.
Mm. you just encapsulated the serenity prayer, Stephen. God, you know, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Stephen Powell. I often ask this question of amazing, dope leaders like yourself. And I'm going to ask you, as you run your race, as you finish 2021 strong, what would you do if you were 10 times bolder?
What would I do if I was 10 times bolder? I think there's an intentionality to ensuring that we're showing young people how to do exactly what we're doing. Sean does, what Steven does, what Jason Wilson does, what Minda Hart, what Elmani, Thomas Owens, Richard Taylor, FM Supreme. Like, we have to be intentional about showing other people how to do what we do. Okay. Because when we allow them to shadow us, they get to see both sides of it, right? Like, you get to see the painful days, you get to see the promising days, you get to see a little bit of everything. So if I could, that would be it for me, Brother Sean. It would be that. And I think that the guiding principle for me really goes back to scripture. Proverbs 18:16, which says your gifts will make room for you and put you in the presence of great men. So I don't check in. I don't punch a clock to work. I punch into my gift every day. And if I'm focusing on that, I'm tuning out all the other noise. Right. And it doesn't mean that I'm ignoring the calls of pain and the need for compassion in communities. It means that I'm focusing on what my assignment is and my gift. And when I do that, I'm going to bring the very best of myself to the world. But first, it starts with bringing the best of myself to the family. When Stephen referenced the father running out on the track to support his son, what this story really says is that mentoring has to start in the home. There's a bond that was already there before that man made it to become an Olympic athlete. Mm-hmm. So what we do in the home, I tell people all the time, if we love our children unconditionally and unapologetically at home, it makes the external job a lot easier, right? And then we're not looking at it like, oh, this is my kid, this is my kid. We're very intentional about why we say love our children. See all of the children in our communities, Black or white, as your children. And then that helps to advance love the way that it needs to be advanced. But punching into the gift, Sean, punching into the gift and being more intentional about mentoring others to do what we do. Because we all came here by different ways. It's not like I was at Howard saying, oh, I want to be a chief programs and partnerships officer. But what I did know that I kept pouring into my gift, my love for children, my love for community, my love for collaboration, the ability to convene, the ability to look at the national landscape and say, man, there's somebody over in Oakland doing some dope work or somebody in Chicago. Let me set them up. It's not about just me. It's about forward progress, moving away from individualism. Right. This is the race where you want to see everybody win. This is not the state championships. This is not pent relays. This is the race where you really want to see everybody win for the culture and for forward movement.
The race metaphor, you had lifted up the relay race. And we know in a relay race, the most important part of a successful completion of a relay race is the milliseconds of the passing of the baton. Mm-hmm. Right. So many relay races been aborted because the baton was dropped. And it's that moment when both the passer and the receiver are holding the baton at the same time that we must manifest as a people. Right. Mm-hmm. And that this, yes, it's about sharing the baton. Right? No, it's about passing the baton, but it's also about sharing the baton, the intergenerational connectivity and connecting our elders with the present generation and the younger generation. That's who we are as a people, right? And that's a millisecond, but that makes a generational difference. And I want you to, I love you, brother. I have never been in your presence and have left without feeling better about myself, feeling more hopeful, more encouraged. And I know I'm an older G in your life, but you raise a standard for me. and how you show up, how you father, how you husband, and how you lead. And I want to just thank you for that, right? And
it's a mutual vibe, brother. I'm going to snap to that.
Right? So,
I am so grateful to you both. Stephen, thank you so much for blessing us this morning, man.
I love you too, brother, just so you know, man.
I appreciate that. Blaze Nation, as you look to the rest of this week, we're at the middle of the week. Give thought, share this episode up with somebody who needs to finish their race strong. But, you know, really give thoughts today. Take a walk. I'll give you one of my tools that my therapist yes. has me do. If you have to bring your phone, put it in your pocket. Don't look at your phone. Sometimes we say we're going for a walk, but we walk the whole walk looking at our cell phone. And that achieves nothing. Right?
And all meetings don't need to be on Zoom. We can walk and talk.
That's right.
Old school.
But put the phone away, put the tech away, go for a walk, take in what's happening outside. If you're in the U.S., anywhere in the Northeast, it's beautiful right now in the fall.
Well, that's it for today. Thanks again for listening to this episode of the Trailblazers Podcast. If today was your first time listening to the Trailblazers Podcast, I just want to extend a warm Trailblazers welcome to you. We're so happy to have you here, and we encourage you to go ahead and hit that subscribe button in your favorite podcast app. Go ahead and browse through some of our past episodes to keep the knowledge flowing. If you're a fan of the podcast and today's content, and you're maybe already subscribed to the podcast, please continue to share and invite your friends, your family, your colleagues to listen to an episode that you think might impact them most. We believe that someone listening to these inspiring stories will be moved to make significant changes that will have generational impact for many others, both now and well into the future. Trailblazers, jump off this podcast today. Go find a way to rise above, go way beyond, and keep blazing your trail. Cheers.